everyone. Welcome to the Overnight Western at Boxcar's 7-Eleven Old Time Radio. A great place to hang out. Yippee-ki-yo-ki-yay.
The best old-time radio from people you trust, where the oldies are still young.
Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yeah, what is it, Chester?
You know Tiller Evans?
The mule skinner?
Yes, sir.
What about him?
He's standing out there in the street. Looks like he's about to head down Santa Fe Trail with a big load of supplies.
Well?
Well, I'm just wondering what a nice, sweet girl like Mavis McLeod can be doing with a man like that.
You jealous, Chester?
Oh, no, sir. But Tiller's such a mean, ugly old bull. Oh, why, look at him. Look at that.
What?
Why, he just hit her, Mr. Dillon.
What?
Slapped her right in the face.
He did.
I told you he was mean. Well, that's a fine way to tell a girl goodbye.
Yeah.
Look, he hit her again.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate a man that picks on women, Mr. Dillon. Oh, poor little thing. She's crying. I sure am glad we're doing something about this.
About you when I get back, Mavis. I'll really whip you. You understand?
No. No, Tiller, don't.
That's
please.
Enough, Tiller.
What are you butting in for, Marshal?
Let go of her.
This ain't no business of yours.
I said let go of her.
Okay. I ain't hurting her none. Am I, Mavis? Am I?
No.
You see? You got no right to mix in people's private business, Marshal.
This your wagon and mule, Stiller?
Of course it is.
Then get going. Right now.
I'm going. But if I wasn't in a hurry, I'd have this out with you right here. I see you when I get back next week, Marshal. Now, Mavis, you remember what I told you now. Well, do you?
Yes. What's going on here, anyway? Mavis, has this beast been after you again?
Don't you call me names, kitty. I'll fix you same as her.
I can't tell you from one of your mules, Tiller.
Now, look at him.
Leave him alone, kitty. You get up on that wagon box, Tiller. Now.
You wait till I get back.
He's been hurting you again, hasn't he, Mavis?
I hate him.
Well, what are you doing with him if you hate him so much?
Why, he's a bully, Chester. She's afraid of him. At least he'll be away for a few days now.
I hope he never comes back.
Will you come with me, honey?
Thanks, kitty.
I'll make you some coffee.
Come on, Chester.
Poor gal. You think old Tiller's gonna start trouble when he gets back?
I don't care if he does, Chester.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Only he's a mite too big for me. What? Look, there's somebody here.
Are you Marshal Dillon, sir?
I am.
My name is Marcus France.
How do you do? This is Chester Proudfoot.
Mr. Proudfoot?
Mr. Proudfoot. Well, how do you do, Mr. France?
I witnessed that scene in the street there, Marshal. That man should be horsewhipped.
He sure should.
Such a pretty girl.
And she's an awful nice girl, too, Mr. France.
I'm sure she is. Well, Marshal, I don't want to take up your time. I thought it best we have a talk before I go to work here.
You're a stranger in town, huh?
I arrived this morning. I'm from Philadelphia, Marshal, and I'm a gambler.
Oh? They gamble much in Philadelphia?
Men gamble everywhere, sir. The weakness is universal.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, you can gamble here all you like, as long as you don't run a crooked game.
That's precisely what I wanted to see you about, Marshal.
What?
It's not that I'm dishonest, but I've often been accused of being so. Sometimes makes for unpleasantness.
Around here, it usually leads to gunplay.
Yes, of course. I can handle myself on that score.
Mr. France, I never heard a gambler yet come out and admit he was a crook, but if he is, sooner or later, either he or somebody else winds up dead. That's why I don't tolerate anything but an honest game in Dodge.
You impugn my honor, sir?
He what?
Never mind, Chester. Now, just what is it you want to tell me, Mr. France?
I am a gentleman, Marshal.
Well, if you are, you're about the first one that ever rode into this town. But for the time being, I'll believe you.
Thank you, sir.
And don't be so touchy about your honor. It'll just get you into trouble.
I'm afraid I haven't explained myself, Marshal. There are reasons why I've often been accused of dishonesty.
Oh, like what?
A bad loser will grasp at any straw to save face. He'll even call the deal crooked.
Yeah, I've seen that happen.
There are likely to be many losers in a game I run.
Is that so?
That may sound like bragging, Marshal, but I possess great skill at cards. Also, I'm extremely lucky.
I see.
Now, you may send a man to watch the deal, if you like. Perhaps Mr. Proudfoot here.
Oh, sure. Well, I'd be glad to come.
No. You run your game, Mr. France. If it's crooked, I'll find out soon enough.
All right.
But don't get the idea you're going to start shooting down every man that bothers you, no matter how good you might be with a gun.
Do you include self-defense in justifiable homicide, Marshal?
If it is self-defense. But you take to killing people, even in self-defense, and I'll have to run you out of town.
Oh, hello, Matt. Chester.
Hi, Doc.
Fella's been trying to sell me a new horse, Matt. I thought you'd take a look at it for me when you're through here?
Sure, Doc. This is Marcus France, Doc Adams.
I'm pleased to meet you, Doctor.
Doc'll do.
Of course.
Where are you from, mister?
Philadelphia, sir.
Not much sun there.
Sun?
Why, you look peaked.
I've had a long journey, sir.
Well, now, when you get rested up, you come see me, and I'll give you some good tonic.
$1 a bottle, Mr. France. He gave me some once.
I appreciate your interest, Doc. Perhaps I will call on you one day.
Anytime.
Now, if you gentlemen will excuse me, I'll be going.
Goodbye, Mr. France.
Goodbye.
What's he doing in Dodge?
He's a gambler, Doc. Why?
Oh, I don't know. He seems sort of out of place around here.
He says he's a gentleman.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Well, I've heard that easy talk before. I will soon find out just what he really is.
You'd think a restaurant like this could serve something besides beans with their meat, wouldn't you now, man? Honest.
Oh, you got potatoes, Doc.
I'm sick of them, too. Yeah. But,
why don't you get married, Doc, and then you could eat fine.
Oh, the last woman that wanted to marry me was a hog and hominy cook. I don't think she ever heard of any other kind of food.
Why, didn't you ever take her out?
Oh, take her? Oh, man. That was in Arkansas. She didn't even wear shoes.
You old liar.
No, I swear. Her pappy had a saying that every woman's entitled to a baby and a bonnet. But shoes were never mentioned in that house.
You must have made a handsome couple.
Oh, well, of course, I was somewhat younger then.
A lot younger, I hope.
I was. Good thing, too. They lived in a place called Ripshin Thicket. Ripshin Thicket. They caught that girl was a day's work, man, believe me.
Doc, why don't you finish your supper? I'm not even listening to you.
And she had a brother called Spotted Jack, and he claimed he never slept in a bed his whole life. Or took a bath.
There must be something else we can talk about, Doc.
Oh, Mabel, anything at all. Anything at all. Gee. Well, what are you going to do about that gambler, that Marcus France, for example?
Well, I don't know yet, Doc.
Well, he's been here for a week, and he's already killed a man.
That was self-defense, all right. But if it happens again, he's through.
You think he's dealing honest, Matt?
So far, he is.
Oh, Dylan. Doc?
Well, Chester?
Chester?
Yeah, I've been over at the Texas Trail. Miss Kitty asked me to find you.
Huh? Trouble?
I don't know. But she said it was really important.
Okay. Doc, you didn't tell me that Arkansas girl's name.
Oh, well, it's a funny thing, Matt. She never told me.
Hello, Kitty. You wanted to see me, huh?
Sit down, Matt.
All right.
It's about Marcus France over there.
Oh?
He's going to be killed, Matt.
What?
Tiller Evans is due back tomorrow.
Well, what's Tiller got to do with it?
You remember the day he left when you stopped him from slapping Mavis around?
Mavis? You mean Mavis and France?
She says she's in love with him, Matt, and she doesn't care who knows it. Underneath, she's scared to death.
Well, does France know about Tiller?
Mavis told him. Matt, I don't know what you think about him, but to me, he's the most decent man I've met in a long time.
Well, he may be, Kitty. That he's sure causing a lot of trouble.
Well, Tiller's gonna kill him. I know he is. You gotta stop it, Matt.
Kitty, how did a nice girl like Mavis get started with Tiller in the first place?
Oh, she didn't have much choice. The big ape just moved in on her and took over. She's awful young, Matt. Pretty helpless.
Now, if she and France are so much in love, why don't they get married?
I've thought of that, too. So has Mavis, by the way.
Yeah. Well, maybe France isn't so honorable after all, Kitty.
Give him time, Matt.
Tomorrow isn't very far off.
Before I said you're cheating, and I meant it.
No man can call me a cheat, mister.
I just did, didn't I?
Stay here, Kitty.
Yeah.
You better leave the game, mister.
You're cheating, you're dealing crooked cards.
You got a gun, mister. Now use it.
Leave that gun where it is. Now, France, I warned you once.
You heard what he said, Marshal.
I meant it, too. He's dealing crooked cards.
Can you prove it, mister?
I don't have to prove it. You've got over $100 of mine. I ain't want a hand at this table in an hour.
See, Marshal? Just like I told you, some men can't take losing.
Did you see him cheating, mister?
I didn't have to. Look at that pile of money.
You talk pretty loose for a man that doesn't have any more to go on than that. Now, why don't you forget about it and get out of here?
Forget about it?
You heard me. This game is closed for the rest of the night.
Well, just as you say, Marshal. Gentlemen, the game is closed.
I'll see you later.
Oh, France. You know, egging men into a draw and then calling it self-defense is going to make your stay in Dodge mighty brief.
I'll have to chance that, Marshal.
How many men have you killed because of that tender pride of yours, huh? Well, it doesn't matter. But there's something I would like to know. What are you going to do about Tiller Evans?
Oh, you've heard.
Yeah.
First time in my life, Marshal. I love a woman.
And why don't you get her out of here? While there's still time.
Run away from a fight?
Tiller's a pretty tough man.
You mean he might kill me?
And where would that leave Mavis?
Sorry, Marshal. I've got to stay.
You know, France, I can't figure you at all. There's something wrong with you, and I don't know what it is.
You'll find out, Marshal. Soon enough.
return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, tomorrow afternoon on Stage Struck, Mike Wallace and CBS Radio cover the opening of the new Broadway musical, The Girl in Pink Tights. Its star, Jean Mayer, Charles Goldner, and others in the cast will be heard. Stage Struck on most of these same stations tomorrow afternoon, opening The Girl in Pink Tights, a promising newcomer full of Sigmund Romberg's music. Now the second act of Gunsmoke.
Won't be long now, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, what won't be long, Chester?
Cowboy just told me he passed Tiller Evans a couple miles down the trail. He'd be driving into town directly.
Oh. Chester. What do you think of Marcus France?
Him? Well, sir, for a fact, I'm dubitated.
What?
Well, he seems like such a nice fella, but he just won't do what he plain order.
Like?
Get married with Mavis McLeod like she wants him to. That'd stop old Tiller.
Maybe.
Now, the very least he could do is run off with her. Mr. Dillon, I just hate to think what'll become of that little girl if Tiller gets her.
Well, one way or another, Chester, there's about to be a killing. And I gotta try to stop it.
How are you gonna do it?
Well, there's a stage north in half an hour. Yeah,
but Mr. France won't go.
Chester, You know where Mavis lives, don't you?
Yes, sir.
All right, go get her. I'll put her on the stage. I'll meet you there.
Okay, Mr. Dillon.
Now, you're going to have to hurry.
Please come in.
Thank you.
I am honored, sir. Would you care for a glass of whiskey?
No. No, thank you.
The very best money can buy.
France. Tiller Evans will be here shortly.
He'll be looking for me, Marshal, not I for him.
Well, anyway it happens, there'll be a killing.
One sinner less in the world.
I'm a lawman, France, not a preacher.
Yes, of course. Now, Marshal, I have no quarrel with this man, Tiller. Why don't you talk to him?
Well, he's not the kind of a man you can talk to.
Well, and put him in jail for disturbing the peace or something.
It'll be too late by the time the peace is disturbed. France, there's a stage leaving Dodge in a few minutes.
Is there, Marshal?
Mavis is going to be on it.
What?
Now, if you're the gentleman you say you are, you'll be on it with her.
You're making a mistake, Marshal.
Well, I've made mistakes before.
No use arguing with you, is there?
Now, if you tell me what's holding you back, there might be.
Shall we say I never run from a fight?
I don't question that. But this time it's different. I don't believe that's your reason.
You say goodbye to Mavis for me, Marshal?
No. I've just decided you're going with her.
I'm sorry.
I'm not.
Careful, Marshal.
I'm always careful.
No, you...
What happened?
Who is that?
jail forevermore.
You shoot him, Mr. Dillon?
Where's Mavis, Chester?
She's inside the coach. I'm keeping an eye on her.
All right, open the door, Chester. Francis is going with her.
Yes, sir.
Marcus, what happened?
He isn't hurt, Mavis. But he'll be out for a while yet.
Why are you doing this, Marshal?
Well, I'm a gambler too, Mavis. And I'm taking a chance that man here of yours is what he says he is.
He's a fine man.
Well, goodbye, Mavis. And good luck. All right, driver.
Yeah.
Get this stage out of here.
Sure, Marshal.
Hold on there!
What?
Get going, driver.
Hold on.
Go on.
Come back here! Stop that stage!
It's too late, Teller.
You done this, Marshal.
Now take it easy.
And that tin horn run off with my gal. And you helped him.
She wanted to go.
Nobody steals nothing from Teller Evans. I'll find him and I'll kill him. Both of them.
No, you won't.
Oh, I gotta kill you first, eh?
Why don't you go get drunk and forget about it, Teller?
You helped him.
Don't do it.
I'll do it.
Chester.
Yes, sir.
Take care of this, will you?
Yes, sir. Couple of you fellows, give me a hand here. We'll drag him over at that trough. Be on to you and Cody.
Matt?
Yeah.
Is Tiller bad hurt?
No, you'll be all right, Doc. Outside of being a little lonely.
Mavis is going to be a little lonely, too.
What?
Marcus France. He did come to my office, Matt.
What are you talking about, Doc?
His lungs. That's why he came west. I wouldn't give him over a couple of months at the most.
Oh. Mavis just isn't very lucky, is she, Doc?
No. No, she isn't. But thanks to you, at least they'll have what time there is. He wouldn't have left with her any other way.
Yeah. I guess Marcus really is a gentleman.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Eleanor Cannon, John Daner, and Harry Bartell. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Gunsmoke has been selected by the Armed Forces Radio Service to be heard by our troops overseas. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Monday night, CBS Radio's Suspense stars Ronald Reagan. The drama is an unusual one titled Circumstantial Terror. In it, a man is on trial for a killing he didn't commit, and a guilty man is on the jury. Tension mounts and mounts until the suspense is almost beyond belief. Don't miss Suspense Monday night over most of these same stations. George Walsh speaking. Stay tuned now for Gangbusters, which follows in a few minutes over most of these same stations. For more outstanding drama, remember the Lux Radio Theater, Monday nights on the CBS Radio Network. brought to you by Chesterfield. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed, thanks to Accuray. They satisfy the most. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely. Hello, Bowers. How's the cattle business?
Well, I shipped 1,000 head out into Santa Fe this morning. Guess I can afford to buy you a drink.
Oh, well, thanks, Bowers, but I hear Doc Adams has been looking all over for me. I better go find him.
I was in here a while ago talking to Kitty.
No?
Oh, here she comes. Maybe she knows where he went.
Matt?
Hello, Kitty.
Hello, Mr. Bowers.
Hello, Kitty.
Doc had to leave, Matt. They called him out to the Smith place on an emergency, but he asked me to give you a message.
Oh?
You know Ed Thorpe and his wife?
Sure, I know.
Yeah, they got a little piece of land right on the south edge of my ranch. They're not doing very good, though.
Well, they sure aren't, according to Doc. He was out there last night, and he'd planned to go back for him today.
To go back for him?
They have to be brought into town, Matt. They've got spotted fever, both of them.
Hey, they got a little baby out there, too.
Well, that's why Doc says somebody's got to fetch all three of them into Dodge where they can be taken care of.
Well, I'll find a wagon and go after them tomorrow. We couldn't get them back tonight anyway.
You want some help, Marshal? I got a pack of cowboys who ain't earning their feed.
Well, thanks, Bars, but Chester and I can manage.
You might need some help.
Oh, what do you mean?
Ed Thorpe. Sick as he may be, he'll get a gun and fight before he lets you carry him off that place. I know him.
Ah, then he can stay there, but I'm going to bring his wife and child in.
All right, but you keep an eye on him. He can be a bad one.
Thorpe's place, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, I know, Chester, but I want to meet these people. They must be new. Come on.
How do you know they're new? You ain't been out this way in over a year.
Well, all the more reason to meet them. Now, let's walk around back. I thought I saw somebody there.
Nothing but a sod hut and blow dirt. You must be living on nothing.
Well, it doesn't look like it, Chester.
Huh? Why, he's butchering a calf. Now, where'd he get that?
He sure didn't raise it on those weeds his woman's trying to hoe. Hello.
What are you men doing here?
I'm Marshal Dillon from Dodge. This is Chester Proudfoot.
I do. Something wrong, Marshal?
No. Except your hat's going to get all bloody where you laid it on this calf.
Leave it be.
Here. You got sunstroke without a hat.
All right. So I was trying to cover up Emmett Bowers' brand. We're starving out here, Marshal. I had to kill that calf.
You ain't going to arrest my husband, are you, Marshal?
No, ma'am. Not unless Emmett Bowers complains.
Well, Joe had to do it, Marshal. We just can't go on without something to eat. Look where I've been hoeing over there. I couldn't plant enough for hardly anything to come up. We can't afford no more seed. Our credits run out in Dodge.
Well, that ground doesn't even look like it's been plowed.
I done the best I could. It ain't easy.
No, ma'am. Not for a woman.
We're on our way over to Ed Thorpe's. I guess you know that they got spotted fever.
I was there this morning. Ed Thorpe's dead, died in the night, I guess.
You didn't tell me that, Joe.
You mean you left Miss Thorpe and the baby alone over there?
I ain't gonna chance catching no fever.
But, Joe, the baby.
My woman's always worrying about babies. It's only because she can't have none, I guess. She's like one of them there dry gourds.
Don't, Joe. You're putting shame on me.
Chester.
Yes, sir?
Let's get out of here. Oh, Miss Nader.
Yes, Marshal?
Next time you're in Dodge, come see me, huh? I'll get you some seed to plant.
That whistling man, Bobby Haggart, really started something. Tonight, the Calypso Boys join in. Ready, amigos?
Packs more pleasure. Packs more pleasure. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
It stands to reason a cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild yet deeply satisfying. Yes, Chesterfield gives you something no other cigarette can give you.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. By Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Goodness, Mr. Dillon, I thought we wouldn't never make Dodge tonight.
How's the baby, Chester?
Well, it's asleep anyway. Guess I've been holding it right, huh?
Just like a mother.
Oh, I am not.
Oh, there's the doc waiting for us. All right. You just sit tight a minute, Chester. We'll help you with the baby.
I hope it don't wake up or anything.
Matt, where are Ed Thorpe and his wife?
Well, Ed died before we got there, Doc. Miss Thorpe's lying down in the wagon back there. We covered her up good. She's been asleep most of the way.
Oh, yeah. Mrs. Thorpe? She's still asleep. Give me a hand up, Matt.
Yeah.
Oh, Mrs. Thorpe?
What's the matter, Doc?
She's not asleep, Matt. She's dead.
No.
Died on the way in, I guess. Now we got a baby to take care of.
You know, Doc, I think she knew she was going to die.
Why?
Just before we left her place, she told me that if anything happened to her, the baby was to be put in Ma Smalley's care. And Ma Smalley was to have complete charge over him. Well, what she says goes.
Well, Ma's a widow. She's had kids herself. That was a good choice.
Yeah.
But she's too old to raise them herself, man.
Well, we'll worry about that later, Doc. Let's get busy. Hello, Ma.
Howdy. How
have you been, Miss Nadler?
Pretty good, Marshal. Marshal, Mrs. Nadler wants to adopt the Thorpe baby.
Oh?
Well, Miss Thorpe left the baby in your charge, Ma. It's all up to you.
Well, I've had him over a week, Marshal, and I'm going to keep him a while longer so he'll be near Doc just in case, but Mrs. Nadler here seems like a mighty fine woman to me. And I'd let her take that baby, only I'm worried about one thing.
I told her, Marshal, and the truth, and she's afraid maybe Joe and I can't make a go of it out there. You remember what you said when you was leaving that day?
I said to come see me, I'd help you get some seed to plant.
Well, now, that's all I need. I get a little corn up there. I might even raise a few hogs. I'll work awful hard, Marshal. I promise I will.
She gets started, she can have the baby, Marshal.
Miss Nadler, why don't you come by my office before you leave town? I'm going to the store here and have a talk with Mr. Jonas now.
Oh, Marshal, I do thank you.
Come on back to the house, Mrs. Nadler.
All right.
You can look at him.
Oh, hello, Marshal.
Hello, Jonas.
What can I sell you today?
I came by to see you about Miss Nadler. You know her, don't you?
Yeah, of course I do. Joe Nadler's out back in the stockroom right now.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. Hey, Nadler, come in here a minute. He's buying himself a new pair of boots, Marshal.
I thought their credit had run out.
Well, Nadler's doing better now. He started bringing meat into Delmonico's and a couple other eating places and paid up part of his bill already, ain't you, Nadler?
I don't know as I like you talking about my private affairs, Jonas.
Oh, no harm. It's only Marshal Dillon.
Come on, Nadler. Those are good-looking boots.
They ought to be. Them's the best I stock. Them's $20 boots.
$20? I'd buy a whole wagon load of seed, Nadler.
You telling me how to spend my money?
Does your wife know you've been doing better lately?
Family matters ain't no concern of the law.
Yours are. And if it wasn't for your wife, I wouldn't bother just warning you. But because of her, I'm telling you to take off those boots and buy some seed and whatever else you need to grow corn with.
Now, you look here,
Marshal. Shut up! I'm giving you a chance, Nadler. In 3 days from now, I'm riding out to see what you've done with it. It's up to you whether or not you'll be riding back with me.
Thursday, Mr. Dillon. Ain't we riding out the Nadlers?
We can wait another day, Chester.
You know what? I don't think you want to go at all.
Yeah, you're right. I don't.
Oh, Marshal.
Bowers.
Chester.
Oh, Mr. Bowers.
I was just up at Delmonico's, Marshal, having myself a feed.
Oh, good. How was it?
It was fine, till I went out back and got a talking with the cook.
Oh?
Marshal, I reckon any man's got a right to complain when he goes to a restaurant and finds himself eating his own beef.
I know about that, Bowers.
You do? And why ain't you done nothing about it?
Oh, because of Ms. Nadler, I guess.
Look, Marshal, I'm a rich man. I don't mind a Nestor slaughtering one of my calves when he's starving. And nobody's going to start selling my beef. I'll kill him. He keeps that up.
All right, I'll handle it, Bowers.
I admire that woman, too, Marshal, but letting him get by with rustling ain't going to help her. By the way, Ma Smalley brought some pies down to the kitchen while I was there. She's waiting outside here. She wants to talk to you. Get you right out, Ma.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Hello, Ma.
You riding out to Nadler's, Marshal?
I am.
Then you tell her I'm sorry. Tell her I think she's a good woman, but I can't let that baby go into the home of a cow thief.
Oh. That'll break her heart, Ma.
Son, I got a trust put in me.
All right, I'll tell her.
Say, where are you listening to Gunsmoke? In your car? Getting ready for dinner? Oh, I see. Just relaxing in your favorite easy chair. Well, I'd say you're in a good spot right now to really enjoy a Chesterfield. You see, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. It stands to reason. A cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild, yet deeply satisfying. Yes, Chesterfield gives you something no other cigarette can give you.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. Buy Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Hello, Miss Nadler.
Oh, Marshal. Hello, Chester.
Hi, ma'am.
What brings you out here, Marshal?
Is your husband home?
No, he's been gone since morning.
Oh. Miss Nadler, do you know that he's been slaughtering Emmett Bauer's beef?
Oh. Mr. Bauer's complained about it. About that calf?
Well, it's more than that one calf, Miss Nadler. He's been selling meat around Dodge lately.
So that's what he had in the wagon.
Now, I know you had nothing to do with it, Miss Nadler, but... I hate to tell you this, but... Ma Smalley isn't going to let you have the baby.
Oh. Well, she's... She's right, Marshal. It wouldn't be fitting.
Mr. Dillon, look.
Huh?
Over yonder.
That's Emmett Bars. I'll be back, Miss Nadler. I'm going to go talk to him.
Them other two must be riders of his, huh?
Yeah.
Thought I might find you here, Marshal.
There's something wrong, Bowers?
One of my men's been murdered. We found him out yonder about 5 miles. He'd been left for dead, but he talked a little.
Well, what happened?
He's gone now, Marshal, so you'll have to take our word for what he told us.
All right.
You run across Joe Nadler, slaughtering another steer.
Nadler shot him?
That's right.
Anything else?
Only that Nadler got on his horse and headed for Dodge. I guess he figures he'll get caught and he might as well get drunk one more time.
He'll get caught. I promise you that, Bowers.
Found him, Mr. Dillon. He's in there getting drunk at the bar.
Now, that's taken us long enough. Everybody in town must know I'm after him by now.
There, see him?
Yeah, I see him.
Stop there, Marshal. Don't you come no closer.
Put that gun away, Nadler.
I saw Chester. I knew you'd be in here next.
Why, Nadler?
You don't fool me. You know all about it.
You admit killing that rider?
I knew when I shot him I couldn't get by with it. My horse's tracks was all over the place.
Well, don't make it any worse than it is.
I told you not to come no closer.
Put your gun on the bar, Nadler.
You watch what I'm going to do with it.
No, Nadler, don't.
Why not? Hit you, didn't I? Now I'm going to kill you.
You hurt bad, Mr. Dillon?
He hit me in the arm, Chester, but I'll be all right.
You killed him.
Yeah. Do something with him, will you? I'm going over to Doc's.
Yes, sir, I will.
Alvin.
Marshal Dillon?
What? Oh, Ma Smalley.
Why, you've been hurt.
It's not bad, Ma.
What about Joe Nadler?
He's dead.
I figured he would be. I heard you was looking for him. That's why I followed you down here.
Look, my arm's bleeding some, Ma. I better get over to Doc's.
Well, you hear me out first, Marshal.
Yeah, of course, Ma. Go ahead.
You'll be the one to tell Mrs. Nadler about him, won't you?
I guess so.
Take a wagon with you, Marshal.
What?
A woman can't live out there alone. Now, I got an extra room at my house if she'll help with the work.
Well, what about the baby?
It'll be her baby, Marshal. And tell her I won't interfere none neither.
Yeah, I sure will, Ma. I'll tell her all that. I'll go out first thing in the morning.
Well, you won't go nowhere. You just stand here gabbing all night. That arm's bleeding, Marshal. You ought to go get it fixed, you hear?
Yeah, you're right, Ma. But then you pretty off on a hard.
In a moment, our star, William Conrad.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
A cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips. Chesterfield. Mild, yet they satisfy the most.
You know, the buffalo hunters killed off the entire High Plains herd in a few short years, leaving the Indians to starve. And next week, this hunger sets off an Indian massacre. And that was the West. Good night.
Gunsmoke. Produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, John Daner, Jeanette Nolan, Virginia Christine, and Frank Cady. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNair is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Help today and hope tomorrow is the slogan of the 7th annual United Cerebral Palsy Drive. Support United Cerebral Palsy. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Live modern. Change to L&M.
Only with L&M can you enjoy the full, exciting flavor of today's finest tobaccos. Through the modern miracle of the pure white miracle tip. So light up, free up, let your taste come alive. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Live modern. Change to L&M.
Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.